Over in 1 Peter, been walking through this letter. It's not that long, but we continually walk through the gospel and walk through the epistles of the letters that God chose to put into the Bible. Walk through them verse by verse, line by line, so that we're hearing the word of the Spirit, not the word of men. We're not hearing the word of men. We're not hearing the word of men. Like, we're hearing the words of the Spirit. When Will's talking about, well, it seems dry. That's just you. That's just your flesh. That's just you actually getting the crud scraped off of you. Amen? So the word of God is always, always beneficial. It's never a dead exercise. And I know he knows that, but I'm just expounding on that. Is that it's never a dead exercise to open the Scripture. It's not like, well, I'm not getting anything out of this anymore. No, you are always being, the Word of God is always effective. It never does not accomplish what he is doing. I mean, you guys start taking an antibiotic or start taking some kind of a treatment, and it doesn't seem to be doing anything. It's just like, oh, what good is this? Why'd I pay for this? This isn't doing anything. No, the Word of God is higher and better for you. The Word of God is like medicine to you. It heals your body. It heals your soul. The Word of God always accomplishes blessing and strength in you. It always is doing that. So never be disappointed. When I say never be disappointed, what I mean is obviously don't let your emotional response or lack of seeing something kind of drag you away from the effective character of the Word of God. The effective character of the Word of God remains whether you feel like you're getting anything or not. Amen. That's right. And again, I know Willis knows this. He's just expressing what we all many times in our natural man feel. And that's helpful. Because otherwise you don't think anybody else will. Well, everybody else is not like this. What's wrong with me? No, you're exactly the same. You're exactly the same as everybody else. And a good teacher will, like Paul in the Bible, will undress from time to time and say, hey, this is me. And I appreciate that. You know, I want to do that. Jim did that. You know, all of us need to do that. Especially among brothers and sisters who are, you're letting them know that you haven't arrived yet. Amen? So powerful. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 12. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Well, glory to God. There you go, Willis. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, does that mean he doesn't like them or he's mad at them? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is he's a struggle to them. To them that do evil. There's always, it seems like they're making it. Seems like they're doing really well. No. The face of the Lord is always against them. They are striving. They're striving against God. Know that the enemy is always having a hard time. He's having a hard time getting his agenda done. It doesn't look like it from your perspective, but you don't have the 50,000 foot view. You don't know. All you know is what's on. And you just know what's being reported on the news. Even the news doesn't know anything. They're just speculating because they're not in those rooms. They don't know what's happening. But the Lord says his face is against them that do evil. So I can be totally confident that what God said is going to happen at the last day, it's done. It's finished. It's done. Over there, we talked about that in Revelation on Christmas Eve, is that, hey, Jesus is coming. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That is it. He makes every decision. He makes every point. He dots every I. He crosses every T. He makes sure that everything is working according to his plan. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. I'm not. I'm not. Why am I running down the street with looking behind me? Brother, you looked afraid. I'm running as hard as I can, but I'm not afraid. Amen? I'm not afraid. I know that God is for me. He's with me. He's in me. And I'm happy to declare that. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Ears open to their prayers. Always his ears are always open to you. Who is he? Listen. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Well, everybody. All those bad people. No, just as you're talking about, just as you are walking along, just worship him. Declare his goodness. Be just witness as if Jesus is standing right beside you, which he is. Just talk about it. Hey, you met my friend Jesus? You know. He says, who will do us any harm as we're doing those things? In other words, it's not harmful to me to tell about Jesus. You know. The thought is, people will think I'm stupid, or people, because the whole world has gone against the gospel. The whole world has gone against God. You remember over in Genesis when it said that everybody was totally against God. Every man did evil in the sight of the Lord. Everybody did evil. Then you had kings after David and Solomon, and you know, one king, well, this guy did good, but this guy did evil. And then that guy did evil. And the guy next to him did evil. So, but then you've got a king. You've got leadership that is always promoting evil. You've got leadership. And then you've got people who are following that leadership. And so it's kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, why can't you just quit making waves? And why don't you quit making noise? No. I mean, you're Jonah. And Jonah, you remember what Jonah did, right? Run the other way. You know, hey, go preach to these people. No. I have heard about those people. Those people, they've got everything on television over there says, you know, God is trying to get your money. God is trying to take your house. God is trying to, you know, do all kinds of evil things. We've got these other gods over here that we can control. With these little guys, we shave them up ourselves, dress them up how we want them. This is how we like gods that we can control. And that's the problem, is that because sin really, really controls this entire world. And people just dress up their gods. It's like little Barbie dolls. You know, they dress up their gods however they want them. And so they look like them. So your God looks like you, you sinful, wicked person. Your God looks just like you. And so that's why you like your God. But there is a God who loves you. There is a God who loves you, who wants to deliver you and set you free every single moment of every single day. When you wake up, you have a proclivity. You have a proclivity to sin. You have a bent to sin in your flesh. It's just built in. You know, it's like, you know, Jacob, I mean, he had to limp, right? I'm limping for the other of you on the tape. I'm limping. He had a limp. And so that he had a proclivity to, because God touched him and slowed him down, basically, and say, you know what? I don't think you're going to manage on your own. And here's just to let you know and remind you that you cannot manage on your own. And that's you. That's me. I cannot manage on my own. And so many people, they appear to manage, but they don't. They're in constant trouble. If you meet with them, you find out how they're all constantly in fear. Even the most successful person is in terror because they're not in control. They know they're not in control. They know they have no ability to get things done other than their manipulation. And many of them worship the devil. As stupid as that sounds, many of them worship demonic spirits. They've got, you know, these little... People do secret things in secret places. Did you know that? You probably do because you do. Just like me. You do secret things and you got to find... And you got to let God clean you out and cleanse your closet. Amen? Because you want to be pure. Why do you want to be pure? So God will receive you? No! You don't need to be pure so God will receive you. He received you in spite of all your impurity because the love of Jesus covered all of your sins. His blood took all of your sin and called you righteous. And now He's in you by His Spirit to transform and change you. You are not transforming and changing yourself because Jesus kind of gave you a leg up. okay? Jesus didn't give you a leg up. You are dead. God killed you. Say, I'm dead.
I'm dead.
See, did you read the Bible? It says, I am crucified. That's you. Just Paul said it, but you can recite it. I am crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless. It's kind of like, go figure. How does this work? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still living. You'll watch me. I'm getting up in the morning. But the life that I now live in this living, getting up in the morning flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So powerful is that I have a new life. I have a, you know, what's that song? You know, I have a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. That's old charismatic music. And the only person here that knows that is me. I won't name anybody else. Janet doesn't even know it.
I know that one,
Janet. Oh, you're confessing.
It's been a long time.
Oh, dear Lord, it's been a long time. I have a new way of living. I have a new life divine. Amen. I do. Did you know you have a new life?
Yes.
And it's divine. That's good Bible preaching. I have a new life. It's divine. I have divine life. It's just oozing out of me. Squirting out of me. You know, new life divine, Karen. That's it. I mean, you got that. You know, it's kind of like it changed you. You had no idea what happened. It's like God just showed up and bam! You know, you got changed immediately. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside. This is power. Dan?
We just read it last night. I had to go back to it again right now because 2:20, Galatians,
yes,
is re-emphasized in Colossians. Set your mind on things above, mm-hmm, not on things on the earth. For you died.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is hidden with Christ, mm-hmm, and God.
That's it.
I mean, it's just like,
it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Look,
yes.
Give a revelation, Father God, to all of us on,
yes,
that.
Amen.
When that,
mm-hmm,
hits, mm-hmm, life is over.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I
That's
mean,
it.
Practically,
yes,
it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The aspect is, let's see some of this practically.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because I can't work it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Anyway, I love that.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, you are dead. I love that. That's good. All right, now. Okay. So who is he? This is verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? In other words, you may get yelled at or cursed at or something like that. It's not going to hurt you a bit. It's not going to hurt you a bit. And what you're doing is you're giving away the gospel. You're giving away good news. You're giving away joy unspeakable and then full of glory. You are a demonstration. I mean, Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. How much more you? Amen? He said, dude, these things will you do in greater things because I go to my Father. Why? Because he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, he will come. And he will convict the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. So the Holy Spirit is coming. And he is manifesting himself through all y'all.
Amen.
All y'all. Every one of you. Not just Jesus. Boy, I hope Jesus comes to town. You know, he's scheduled to be here on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Hope he doesn't get laid, waylaid. You know, because he's the only one. No, I mean, you just called Dan. We just called Judah. You know, Judah, a man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. He just, well, he's not even 21. No, he doesn't need to be 21.
Right.
He's just filled with God. He's filled with God and he shows up. And the living God changes everything. Changes the environment. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The living God changes all environments. When I walk into a room, everything is changed because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not me. It's just Joe. Joe comes in, everything changes. People can be distraught and fearful and full of hate. And when Joe comes in, they might hate her. But that's okay because she comes into the room and light is spread in the room. Amen?
Amen.
Light actually enters a room when you are there. When Jesus said that, he said, you are the
light of the world.
He said, y'all, now, be the light of the world. Come on, everybody. You know, what, how do you do that? He said, you are the light of the world, didn't he? Did he say that? He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So let not sin, over, we studied in Romans over in Men's on Thursday, says Romans 6 says, let not sin therefore reign in your body. Now it doesn't mean stop sinning. It's just don't give yourself over to it. But that's also the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just you see it coming and you're like, you know, the devil is slow, you know, you're fast because of the Holy Spirit. You don't fall under his purview. You are not under the authority of Satan. You are under the authority of the Holy Spirit. You operate daily, living under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Jesus operated daily under the authority of the Holy Spirit. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He was God in his person in order to die for your sins. But he, as a man, he laid, the Bible said, he laid aside his deity and became, humbled himself and became a man. You know, over in Psalms, he says, a body you have prepared for me. Not a Superman body. He didn't prepare for him a Superman body. Jesus didn't, you know, jump and fly and go and do and punch out, you know, Lex Luthor. You know, he didn't do that. You know, Lex Luthor put him up on a cross because he had the media and he had the religious people. All right? Who's Lex Luthor? Yeah, anyway. So he's the bad guy. Superman, bad guy. Again, I'm showing my age. All right, now, so don't worry about being, don't worry about who's going to harm you if you be followers of that which is good. But, and if, verse 14, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Do you like how I said, happy? Happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. So do not be troubled, be not afraid. Over in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, to Jeremiah, but the Lord said to me, say not, here's what not to say, don't say this, I am a child, for you shall go, God says, say not, I am a child, because he said, I'm a child, I can't speak, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Amen. Then the Lord put forth his hand to touch my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Amen. There you have it. Okay. Then over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, he said,
just read.
That's Jeremiah chapter 1.
Thank you.
But somewhere between 1 and 8.
That's okay, Jeremiah 1.
Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 1. Okay, that's just when he's calling Jeremiah. Okay, and Philippians 1:28, it says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. In other words, you look like God's against you. But to you, it's an evidence of salvation. And that is of God. So in other words, when it looks like your man looks like the world's just beating him up and he's just never going to make it, and God must be against him. No, God's always for me. Even when it looks like God's against you, even if it looks like things are not going your way, even when it looks like you're not going to get something done, God must be. Listen, one brother who we all love, no, is constantly talking about his religious upbringing, which says, it's you. You did something. The reason that thing happened to you is because you did something. And that's just, it's just a payback. You know, and God is using that to call your attention to something. No, sin has its own reward, okay? Sin has its own, you know, you touch the hot stove, same old thing. You touch the hot stove, you get burned, right? Okay. Sin has its own thing. But you are busy looking for stuff, God will show you. If you sin, and you sin a sin that brought you into a place of trouble or place of stumbling, that messes up your plans or agenda or your business or your family, and you sin that sin, you just seek God, just ask God, and just say, Lord, show me if anything. But some people dwell under it. Okay, listen. Some people dwell under the idea that God is constantly looking over them, punching them, getting them with a 2x4, walking behind them with that stick, ready to just, oh man, if you screw up, I'm going to whack you, and you do, and I do, and this is your life. Your life in Christ is God chasing you around with a 2x4. No. Jesus took the 2x4 for you.
That's right.
Jesus took that beating. Jesus took that punishment. Amen. So if you stumble, if you fall, and the Lord and something occurs because of it, it's not God chasing you down. It's God. He's trying to get you the blessing. Yeah. He's trying to love you, trying to care for you, trying to tell you that, hey, I have covered that. Whatever you thought that, whatever you thought I was after to destroy you, I am after you to bless you. I'm after you to love you, to care for you, to meet all of your needs, all of the time. God is not out to, because that would indicate that God is out to get you to shape up. God is not out to get you to shape up. He's out to shape you up himself. He lives on the inside of you. He is in you both to, amen. Philippians 2:13. He is in you both to will it and to do it. A couple of stories in Exodus and Chronicles about when they needed money for the tabernacle and the temple. God moved in them and made their spirit willing. He made their spirit willing. All you're doing is asking God, God, make me willing. God, change my willer. God will change your willer. Amen? He will change your willer. He'll make you willing. Hallelujah. Make me willing. I'm a mess, Lord. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. No. So, Father, thank you that you're making me willing. You, whatever you will that you have for me, put it in me to do. Put it in me to do it. And all of a sudden, I'll find myself on the other road. You know, I'm barreling down I-35. I've got to get there. I've got to be there. I'm going to get there. And no, nothing's going to stop me. All of a sudden, you find yourself on 77. Ministering to somebody. And you're no longer afraid and you're no longer stressed out. God doesn't want you stressed out. He wants you just to listen to Him and let Him lead you and guide you and bring you to where He's going to bring you. And He'll actually bring you there with lots of money. I don't have money, but He'll bring you there fully supplied. You remember, they're over there in Egypt in Goshen, and you know, all of a sudden they're having to leave. You know, God said, "Okay, get out of town." Well, the Egyptians came over and loaded them up. They said, "Get these people out of here! In fact, load them up with some money so they never come back." Yeah, they wanted them out of there because God had destroyed them because of Israel. Because you know, it's time for them to leave. Don't hinder me. Don't slow my people down. And so God's going to do that. But the day of the gospel is here when God wants everybody to come. God wants everybody to come. He doesn't want to leave Pharaoh behind. He wants him to convert. He wanted him to convert then. You know, he almost did. Then he was, never mind. You know, and then finally, he lost everything. He lost even his own life because he refused to say God is good. God is God. You know, unlike old Yul Brynner. His God is God. I always love that line. You know, the Ten Commandments. His God is God. You know, I'm sure he was cursing God. I'm sure the real Pharaoh was cursing God all the way down. He didn't make it out of the Red Sea. Right. Yeah, he was down there with his troops. So he was gone. So I don't know who was king after that because his son got killed the night before. So I don't know who was. So somebody came up after that. And okay, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you and not afraid of their terror. Neither be ye troubled. Don't be afraid of their faces. But sanctify, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Okay? Set yourself apart, like Will's talking about. Set yourself apart. regardless of how you feel, give the opportunity for your heart to be invaded by the Holy Spirit daily. Because you wake up, it's like a, to me, I say it's like a resurrection every day. I mean, you're waking up, you're rising from the dead. New life. You have a new life every day. You know, forget yesterday. Yeah, forget those things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. God is not interested in you dwelling on the past. He has already forgiven you, past, present, and future. Receive forgiveness today. Receive forgiveness right now. Amen. Just like that, yeah, I was talking about, says, who is always afraid that, okay, he's always enumerating, okay, where did I fall off the wagon? You know, and it's not that we don't say, okay, God, where did I mess up? No, that's fine. But if you are consumed by that, you're consumed by guilt, that is not of God. Jesus took all the guilt upon himself. You are no longer guilty. You are no longer guilty. Did you sin a sin? Yes, I did. But Jesus took all sin. That just doesn't sound right. Sound like he should have. I think about it is, he paid off my debt. Now don't get in debt anymore, son. You know, you do that for your kids or something. Yeah, okay, I paid off all your debts. Now don't do that again. No, God has forgiven. This is way beyond us that He forgave us forever. Even the sins that I continually do, He forgave me forever. So what He's wanting me to do is spend more time getting really close to Him. That's His heart. Is that, and as we do that, as we draw near to Him, our sins begin to dissipate and fall off. We no longer see sins we used to see. I mean, you all of a sudden look. Last time that happened was way over there. I mean, it's like 2 years ago. You know, or you might notice it like 6 months or something down the road. You, wow, yeah, I didn't even had to try to prevent doing that because I'm near Him. I am near Him. Do you have sin in your sin capacity in your flesh? Yes, but you have the Spirit on the inside of you, which has delivered you from the power of sin. Over in Romans chapter 6, it says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." It shall not have dominion over you. You are dead. Reckon yourselves, therefore, dead unto sin. When the enemy comes in and says, "Nah, you're still a mess," you said, "No, I am dead unto sin because God told me to do this." Reckon yourselves to have a little courtroom. Have a little courtroom. You be the judge. And you're reading from the law. I am dead unto sin. Reckon yourself according to that. Make the judgment according to the God's word, not according to your experience. Your experience will just condemn you every single day. Won't it? Set free. Set free. But sanctify. Set yourselves apart the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always at the same time to give an answer to every man who asks you. So in other words, don't separate yourself as being sinful. Oh, well, I'm no good. I can't talk to people about Jesus. No. No, you're just like them. And you can tell them immediately how God has delivered you. Now, they may not think that's such great news. But you, because of experience, like Romans chapter 5, because of experience and hope and patience, you have all of a sudden, you find that it is very beneficial and helpful for God to deliver you from sin. A lot of people don't even recognize what sin is, right? They're just like, well, yeah, I got in trouble again somehow. Something happened. No, what you do is just tell people, listen, there's a God in heaven who absolutely loves you, and God does the rest. God does the rest. Amen. He does the rest. You can't sit them still for a 20-minute sermon, but you can just affect them with your joy and say, you know, there's a God in heaven. Jesus is coming again, and He loves you, and He wants to deliver you. You want to, if you're a teacher like me or Melissa, you want to sit them down and give them a seminar and make sure that they understand what sin is and what they did and what God did. And you don't have that kind of time. You don't have that kind of time. What you are is just a delivery person. You know, deliver the prescription. Deliver the medicine. That's all you do. Jesus Christ died for you. And God brings forth the rest. Because he's watering. Somebody's watering. Somebody's planting. You know, but God gives the increase, right? Okay. So be ready always to give an answer for to every man that asks you. What if they don't ask you? Well, tell them anyway. Give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Not with punching them in the face, but meekness and fear. All right? Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. In other words, you don't pay any attention to them. You're just walking along, just loving Jesus, not punching them back. Like I said earlier in the chapter, Jesus reviled and he was reviled, cursed and hated, and he did not return the favor. He did not return the hatred or the anger. He loved them despite their own, you know, their hatred. That's it. You know, God just loves people. Janet will tell you, I'm driving down the road and I'll, you know, and I'll swear at people. I don't swear at people. Okay, I don't swear at people.
I do.
Okay, do you swear at people? Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah.
And I read it real fast.
And you say, but I do. I make fun of them like that, which is just as bad. It's just the same. You know, you're mocking them, right?
Yeah.
Mocking them is the same. So me and Melissa, we're the same. Yeah. Tom is holier, you know.
Holding back a lot.
You know, it's kind of like.
I'm pretty direct.
You know, I'll say something like, "Well, honey, look at you speeding along there." You know, it might as well have been saying the other thing. You know, the other thing is actually quicker. You probably get free quicker than me. Yeah. You know, it's well, buzz, 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 go on, bass me. You know. I'll just say something ridiculous, but Janet catches it all the time. See, you just need to repent.
Just don't let it get you.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Doggone it. Yeah. Okay. So that they may be ashamed who falsely accuse you and your good conversation. Your good conversation is, you know what? Nothing gets me. I'm closer than I was because of the Holy Spirit, but where nothing gets you. When that person drives by and cuts you off, you're just like, Lord, bless that person. They're going to die in a minute. So witness to them right there in their car because they're going to get killed because if they do that again, because somebody who's not loving like me will just run them off the road or shoot them or something. You're praying for them. See, people who are designed to make you, because people are designed to make you sin. Do you know that? People are designed to make you sin. God, the devil sends people to make you sin and to make you curse yourself. You know, he wants you to, the devil wants you to look at yourself instead of looking at Jesus, doesn't he? The devil wants you to look at other people. Yeah, like that guy on the side of the lakeshore, you know. You know, the Gadarene guy, you know, and all the guys in the boat were going, no, Jesus, don't go. Well, I hope we don't go over there. And Jesus goes right for the guy. You know, Lord, I don't want to go over there to that guy. I've heard about him. He's bad and his kids are bad. And, you know, we don't want to go near those people. You know, anybody you don't want to go near, right? Yeah, praise God. God will use you everywhere. You know, when you're in the ministry, you go all kinds of places. I'm a pastor. I guess I got to go. Yeah, and you go over there. And God will use you. Amen. Verse 17 says, for it's better if the will of God be so that you would suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, certainly. And if you're going to suffer, you might as well suffer for doing good than suffer for doing evil. For Christ is also, verse 18, for Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Okay, now, the first part of that. Christ also has once suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Okay, so you're going to suffer in the flesh for the same reason. The just for the unjust. is that it's better for you to suffer than for that person to suffer in hell. It's better for you to be abused than for somebody to not have the opportunity to hear the gospel or to see the gospel. They may hate your testimony, your outward conversation. Conversation here means your manner of living. It offends them. You know, what's everything about right now is what offends everybody. If you tell people the truth of God's word and they're offended by it, that is hate speech to them, isn't it? That they're testifying themselves of their sin, their wickedness. It, hate to sin is hate to me. No, it's exactly the opposite. Hate to your sin is love to you, brother, sister. To deliver you from the power of this world, the darkness that's in this world. So all of these things that people are doing, homosexuality, transgenderism, all these approvals that we are approving of in the natural realm are wickednesses that are taking people to hell. Do we preach about hell here? Yeah, we do. Yeah, people are dying and going to hell without Jesus because they are putting off the love of God for their own fleshly purposes. The enemy is using these things to destroy the world because he hates God. He is convincing people that this is not only good, but this is loving.
Yeah.
But God said, "No, it's the same thing as running out in front of the car or hitting, you know, or touching the hot soap. These things are destroying you, your life, because they're an abomination to God. They're an abomination to God. He cannot. He's already said. He set His word in place. These destroy you. And unless you repent of these things." And receive Jesus. Now, what happens is you're going to repent of those things, and God's going to deliver you from them, because the repentance is what? Unto sin. It's not just that thing. Okay, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. It's not just that sin. That's just a result. That's a result of hatred of God, of the enemy. And that's just a residue or a demonstration of what the devil does and what sin is. All right? Okay. So Jesus Christ, His blood and His death and His resurrection delivers that person as much as anybody else. But He's also delivering you from the power of that. But the devil's nice and sneaky, because he comes in and he says, yeah, okay, you can be saved and you can love Jesus, but this is okay. You didn't. Then you're not hearing the Holy Spirit. So, are you saved or not? I don't know. Are you saved or not? If you are still being led by the spirit of this world, I mean, there is a false narrative in churches that you're saved if you continue in sin. The Scripture talks about it. If you continue in sin, there's no righteous. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you're continuing in sin, let's examine your faith, what you had faith in. You know, the enemy wants you to, it's okay to say, you know, thank you, Jesus, but continue in sin. No. It's Jesus Christ delivering you from sin as the evidence of your salvation. It's the evidence of it. Amen? All right. For Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So he was put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. How are we doing? By the which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. That's always a fun scripture. You all right? Who are the spirits in prison? And where did he go preach? And why is this in here? Well, if you go over here, there's several different directions on this that people look at. And was he going to preach to, just declare to those guys who rejected Noah and rejected the salvation that was coming through Noah, because he begins to talk about that in the next verse, was that Jesus just declaring, hey, you guys were righteously condemned. And because I did, Jesus, because I did come and I did redeem the world, you know, just as Moses or Noah was a type and a shadow of that thing. Another part of that is that Jesus came and preached to, for instance, the guys who were men and women of faith in the coming Messiah, that, hey, I made it. I made it, and I died for all your sins. In a minute, I'm going to rise up and take you with me. And so you've got two kind of different groups. You have two different groups here. You've got a group of faith and a group of disobedient who are dead, who are either in paradise, because you see Jesus talking to the thief on the cross, you know, Lord, you know, be with me, you know, for, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so they both died. Well, the idea that you're going to be with him in paradise and hopes you didn't get baptized. Well, you know, you got one particular, you know, Christian group that would say the guy didn't make it because he didn't get baptized. Because you got to get baptized. If you never got baptized, you never got saved. Yeah. So a couple of groups probably fit into that category. Or you've got, the other group, and because we're talking about the reason you know about the folks who are in prison or in the place of the dead is you go back to the story in Luke with the blind or the rich man and Lazarus. And of course, they both, everybody dies, and they're down in Sheol, down in Hades, the place of the dead. And you've got Abraham and Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. They're separated by a great gulf, which has a big fire in the middle of it, and the rich man's over on the other side. Y'all remember the story, right? You just kind of nod your head a little bit. So, and then, of course, the rich man's over here hollering, hey, send Lazarus over and dip his finger in water and send him over here. Well, we can't do that. There's a big flame right there. And they said, well, send him to talk to my five brothers. And if somebody came from the dead, that they would hear him. And, of course, Abraham says to him, well, if they won't hear the law and the prophets, they won't even listen if somebody were raised from the dead. Of course, obviously a reference to what's fixing to happen, that Jesus is going to be raised from the dead, and people aren't going to listen to that either. So that's the other thing. Is that okay? So the idea would be that when Jesus is going to paradise with that thief, he shows up in paradise and says, hey guys, Abraham, Moses, David, you know, all the men of faith, all the Hebrews 11 people, hey, I made it and I died for your sins. Let's go. And clears the place out, you know, and takes those people into you know, the presence of the Lord. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All right, I know that's a lot. If you look over at chapter 4, verse 6, just real quickly, we're not going to preach from there, but for this cause, chapter 4, verse 6 in 1 Peter, for this cause was the gospel preached to them also that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So, you know, that particular, you know, most of the study that I've done is that actually I hadn't even seen that scripture brought up, you know, as used as a confirmation of, you know, what he's talking about in the previous chapter. So, but to say that the gospel was preached to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So that they're alive. They're judged according to men, but living unto God by the Spirit. So that these people, I believe, that Jesus was declaring to the men and women of faith that he had arrived and that the gospel was being preached to them. Now, back in chapter 3, we're going to finish this up. By which also he went and preached into the spirits in prison, verse 19, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, only eight were saved by water. Okay? The like figure, whereto even baptism does now also save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So baptism is not baptism here with water, even though it's a figure of the water that carried the ark and saved them. Here, that he specifically says, baptism is not like washing away filth of the flesh, but is the answer of a good conscience. It's inward. It's what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of a man. The baptism into Christ is what saves me. Not baptism, you know, baptism by water. That is a outward sign, but it's an obedience that God says do, just like the communion, to do these things to demonstrate what God has done for you. Baptism, you're dead, you're buried with him in baptism, you're raised with him to everlasting life. Okay? So in doing so, then you are demonstrating what happened inside. Inside, you were baptized into Christ. You're immersed in him. You go over to John 17. Won't go there. You can read it. Is we're in him, and he's in us, and we're in them. And you know, we're in Christ Jesus. And those guys didn't understand that prayer at all. You know, they hadn't even been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. I mean, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They didn't do that until the night of the resurrection. And then, of course, you know, 50 days later, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit for power. But in the beginning, I mean, he's just, you know how Jesus did. You know, he preached parables. And they're going, what? You know, well, that prayer, you know, he prayed in John 17, you know, praying for them. It's still the same thing. Was like, what did he just say? In who? What? You know. So we don't understand until God reveals it to us. Amen? So we may not understand all of this. I'm just kind of trying to plow through 1 Peter. Okay? So, verse 21, the like figure, even baptism, does also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Everything is subject to Jesus. Everything is subject to Jesus. Well, I thought God was the Father. Yeah, but he made everything subject to Jesus. He made everything subject to Jesus. Jesus is the King. And then at the end, that God is going to be all in all. Is that God? Jesus is going to turn it back over to God. You know, right now, for the purposes of judgment, in the last day, Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the judge. That's 1 Peter chapter 3. Praise the Lord. You know, Peter was kind of a bumpkin, wasn't he? Aren't you kind of a bumpkin?
Yeah.
I mean, some of us aren't. Some of us have been highly educated. But that also could mean that you're just kind of a bumpkin because you're highly educated in this world. And I've got the brains of this world. Yeah, okay. How good is that for you? Amen. No, but Peter was a fisherman. I mean, he went to bar mitzvah. You know, he had some scriptures. How many of us who went to confirmation or went to Bible class had some confirmations? I mean, had some classes, you know, learned a few scriptures. Peter was touched, just like Paul, touched by the Holy Spirit. Paul was no more filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to preach and to know these things than Paul was highly educated. You don't need to be highly educated. It can be a trap. It can be a hindrance to you. Your mind, your brains can be a hindrance to you. Your good brain. Thank God I didn't have a good brain. I always thought it was funny. You know, I went to 2 years of Bible college, 2 years of junior college, you know. And now God hooked me up with a guy. Now, of course, I knew Jim, you know, when I was 12. Guess I could have tried to go to Yale if I wanted to. Tried to. Didn't do it. But Jim, I mean, educated highly. And then he put us together for 40 years. I'm surprised he didn't get rid of me. Just, yeah, it's Dave. It's never going to make it. You know. Thankful that God does weird things. God puts people together. God put you together with some people you never thought he would. Because He is here to love people through you. And that's what Peter's talking about here. It's your good conversation. Your conversation. That is, your manner of living because you're indwelt by the living Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, we're only on finishing up chapter 3. There's a 4 and 5 to this thing. It takes forever to get through these things. Father, we just love you. Thank you that you're always good to us. Thank you that there's nothing that shall by any means hurt us. And that you're, the ultimate thing is not preaching. The ultimate thing is not singing. The ultimate thing is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else and bringing them into the kingdom and letting them grow and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you right now that you use us and that you use us to preach to people, to speak to them, to build a congregation that is filled with people who love Jesus. Not just in numbers, but just, you know, building them up and sending them out. Whatever it might be. Whatever your vision is, Father, for this church, we believe that you'll fulfill it. Because we're just going to seek your face and ask you to lead us to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. In Jesus' name we praise. Pray for all these pastors here, every one of them. Thank you for raising them up, that you've called them and raised them up to deliver the Word of God. And Father, we thank you for the ministry that we received. And now we need to hear from you. And we're going to follow you, as are each one of these in this room today. And we just give you glory and praise and thanks. Let's lift our hands and thank you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for your complete finished work that you're performing on the inside of us. You're making it happen. You're delivering us daily from sin. Father, we thank you that sin does not have any dominion over us. We're not afraid. We walk in the Holy Spirit. We walk in peace. We walk in the strength of Jesus Christ. And we give you glory. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Blessing and glory and praise and honor be to the name of the Lord God. His name is above every name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.